The book of Jude, please. Verse 1, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father, and preserved in Jesus Christ and called, or I like another rendering of that that says, to them that are called, beloved in God the Father, and kept for Jesus Christ, mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once for all, delivered unto the saints. Verse 20, but ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some have compassion making a difference, have mercy on some who are in doubt, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire. And another rendering suggests that on some have mercy with fear, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. The conditions that Paul notes when he writes to Timothy and 2 Timothy are last day conditions like those in the days in which we are living. And Paul speaks there about the desire of the advocates of departure who will heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Their desire is expressed in those that they have speaking to them. When you come to 2 Peter, in days of departure likewise, Peter tells us of false teachers arising. There is, in the days that Peter is painting, there is a design of the activity of those involved in departure, and he says, they shall privately bring in damnable heresies. They're working privately. They're working in the home. They're working away with individuals. And when Jude tells us about these who are the apostates in departure, he tells us that really there is a deception linked with them. They have crept in. They have pretended to be something else. And they are fast at work under the cover of deception. They would like to raise a smoke screen and like to make you think that everything is all in the gray area. It's all kind of nebulous. But Jude says we're not going to deal with it that way. When it comes to the faith, he says, I want to encourage you, to stir you, to earnestly contend for the faith once for all delivered to the saints. Jude is dealing with matters that are clear and plain. He is dealing with what we would, the word that we use is apostates. He is dealing with men that have turned away from the truth. And he describes those apostates and the teaching that is theirs. They are ungodly men in verse 4. They are turning the grace of God into lasciviousness, and they are denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. They are men that are lacking in reverence, ungodly. They are men that are lacking in righteousness, turning the grace of God into lasciviousness, taking divine truth and using it by denying it as a means of promoting long living. And they are men that lack as well respect for things that are divine, denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Man, this is desperate. Things have gone to some desperate extreme in what Jude is addressing. And I am thankful to God that we today, as we look around us, are not faced with the desperate circumstances of apostates of the character that Jude is speaking about in this book. But what I would like to gather from the book this afternoon is simply this. Here are believers that are facing extreme circumstances. Now when the apostle is writing to Titus, he is facing a tremendous tide of error and wrong living that is being justified in the among the Cretan believers or among individuals in Crete. And Paul, when he's writing to Titus, tells us that the great bulwark against the advance of evil is that there must be men ordained by God and publicly identified elders who will stand against that which is evil, and they will stand for God and give strength to the people of God. That's the approach that Titus is going to take. But what I like to notice in this epistle that Jude is writing is that in light of the great sweeping tide of departure, Jude is addressing individual believers. And he is instructing them in this great matter of earnestly contending for the faith once for all delivered to the saints. Jude is putting into the hands of believers strength in light of the great departure of the day, that they may live for God and be presented one day faultless before the throne of His glory. So that while we are not this afternoon speaking about apostates, and we are not really dealing with apostates, the tremendous principles that Jude gives us in this epistle will stand by us today in light of the tide of departure that is around us. First thing that I want to notice then, just five things in my mind looking down to this epistle. The first thing that I want to notice is this spot. Jude says, number one, realize what is precious. What you are involved in is contending for the faith. And what we are involved in today, not dealing with apostates, but what we are dealing with today in our day, involves this same precious faith. You know, sometimes it is amazing to me, as I think of the tremendous power of God that has put into our hands in this generation the same body of truth that was passed down by the Lord Jesus to the apostles, by the apostles to those that follow them. What an amazing privilege we have. We are involved in the same earnest battle that the devil has joined against the faith once for all, delivered to the saints. We're not facing something new. We are not involved in a defense of a party. We are not involved in the defense of personality. We are not involved in simply maintaining what our fathers have believed. We are not involved in some way or other attracting attention and justifying our position. Precious thing that is entrusted to us is the faith. And all that is embodied in it is that which brings honor and glory to our Lord Jesus Christ. We're not involved in some charity. Oh, I know that when it comes to those that take the name of Christ, what we are engaged in and involved in is a sidetrack. Pretty much unnoticed and not very important. Well, that's all right. God bless them all. I really am of the opinion, dear brethren, that we are in the mainland of what God is doing in this age. And for all our smallness and weakness and failure, we are involved in the defense of the faith. What is precious, what is involved here, the faith delivered to the saints. Point number two. I would draw from what Jude tells us in verses 4, 5, 6, and 7. He says, these men are of old ordained unto condemnation. But what's going on here today is not something new. No. Jude says, remember what's that. The kind of problems that are swirling around you. And I am sure that believers in this day, as they would look around at all this that is being advocated, and the tremendous difference between this and what has been entrusted to them, they would say, man, it's all up. We're done. We're lit. No hope. Keep going down. We're going down there. I know what you mean. Don't lose sight of the fact that this is an ancient battle that's involved. And that what you're facing in your generation has been faced by generations that have before you. I am amazed sometimes when I I'm amazed that in the span of my little lifetime, I am hearing again today
the things that I heard 20, 30 years ago. And the same kind of issues are all being rehashed in a modern context. And it is all under the guise, we are living in a different age. What if we're living in a different age? Come up with some new era. It's the same old pleas of departure. It's the same old plea. Do away with the distinctiveness of what we have been reminded of already as the outside place. Do away with that.
And in doing away with that, you will dishonor the name of the one that is connected with or with which he is connected.
Well, bring the gospel down to the level where it's more appealing to people. That's been going on for generations.
And bring the gospel to where it's more appealing, and the gospel will leave its power. And those that imbibe it will lose their strength to live for God.
And make this Jesus a rather more human. And don't speak so much about his holiness, and don't speak so much about obedience to him. And bring him from his throne where he is Lord and God is Jesus.
And we crave the honor of the blessed vine whose name is called upon us. Nothing new. Remember, says Jude, what is past.
Go back over the incidents of the past, the way back in the history of Israel, and see that those that departed in that day were brought into destruction. Remember as well the angels that kept not their first estate. Remember the result of them. And remember Sodom and Gomorrah that discounted divine and moral order. Don't forget that God has brought in judgment on all that has departed.
Let us simply rest in this. God still is. And we need not be swept along with the tide of the place. We'll leave it with God to take care of all that departs from what is left. Remember those times.
Then when Jude writes further down in verses 8 through 15, I draw from that reflection.
He says, recognize what is upon them. Take a look at the prayers they're leading up.
Take a look at what they're doing. Don't allow the issues to be clouded by words.
Let's take a look at plainly what is involved.
Their character, their means of doing business, their designs. Take a clear look at it, says Judas.
It's a liability. Hidden rocks.
Get a clear look at it.
It bears the identity of that which is dead and not living.
Recognize that the problem is, I'm afraid sometimes, you know, when I see believers as they are in Vancouver at this time, united,
I think I can say, brethren, can I, united with one heart for the things of God, I think, oh, God forgive us, that we have ever in our day wasted our energy on other things. And sometimes when we should have been a united force for God and stood together, we have got all distracted with all kinds of side things that are not the issue. And personalities sometimes have got us all upset. And our own aims and ambitions sometimes, and contending instead of earnestly contending for the faith, we're jockeying along in the race and making sure that the boy next to us doesn't get ahead of us. And we're making sure that we get the right place in the limelight, and we're not too happy when things aren't going in my personal favor. That's not what is at issue. Why, there is tremendous reality and tremendous truth involved. That is the issue. Let us not be involved in the truth. Let us recognize what is the problem. And focus. Okay.
That brings me to what I really want to emphasize in verses 20 and 21. Starting at verse 17, Jude says, but ye, beloved. And then again at verse 20, but ye, beloved.
I love the way he introduces the theme here of those who are beloved. That's why I read the alternate reading there in verse 1. Those who are beloved.
And he speaks to them as no other writer in the New Testament does in greeting mercy and peace and love.
And now he says to them, beloved. But I'm happy as only upon the image of love that we make to me. We've got a piece of blood that like to uphold. The embracing from all of love. Tender affectionate involved.
I would just write over the thought of my appreciation in these verses. This one lesson.
Rejoice in what is provided.
What are we to do when the tide is against us? What are we to do when there seems to be such a running after that which is after all? Not according to the book.
And get up on your feet and hop.
Yes, sir, boys, we want everybody to know we're earnestly contending for the faith. And now there is a time when things need to be said. But what touches my heart this afternoon is this. Jude says, you want the remedy? There is the challenge of personal communion. Jude says, keep yourselves in love of God. Now that does not mean make sure you go after it each day to make sure you'll behave so that God loves you.
Thank God you don't have that kind of thing to deal with.
You know what touches me when I have been furthest away from the Lord?
That He loves me just the same.
And I don't know anything that will bind your heart or mine close to the Lord Jesus like this.
That He loves me. Despite all my failings and departures, if there's someone in the meeting this afternoon that's away from the Lord Jesus, let me tell you something. Contrary to all that you believe. For Jesus loves you today with a love unsurpassed, and He has never loved you more.
Why, I tell you, there's something that melts the cold heart
with the constancy of the love of the Lord Jesus.
It's not, thank God, it is not a matter that I must behave so that God loves. And it's not that I must stir up within me love for God. The love of God is shed abroad in my heart. Thank God, the Spirit of God that dwells in me produces what God requires. The righteous requirements of the law are established in those that walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. But I think I see something of this in the words of the Lord Jesus in John chapter 15. Continue in my love, the Lord Jesus says, as I also continue in or abide in my Father's love. Keep my commandments and abide in His love. It is not that the Lord Jesus was keeping the Father's commandments for the Father that loved and 10,000 times more. But as the Lord Jesus kept the commandments of the Father, as the fruit light of divine purpose went before Him on the path, and He, the obedient Son, stepped in the sunlight of the commandments of the Father, uninterruptedly He enjoyed the love of the Father. Now, says He, keep your soul in the love of God. Day by day, make it your business to enjoy the love of God in your soul. There are young believers here today. I wish I could underline this in your heart today. There is nothing more important in your life than keeping in the enjoyment of the love of God for your soul. Nothing more important than living in the holy atmosphere of the presence of God. Keep yourselves in the love of God. There is a great challenge. In the midst of all that is around us.
Keep on enjoying communion with God.
What then are the contributors to this communion with God?
Well, says Jude, here they are. Number one, building. And number two, prayer.
If you are going to keep yourself in the love of God, then building up yourselves in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Ghost.
No mistake, the Holy is here.
If these men are ungodly men, turning the grace of God into unholy living, then what Jude says is you just keep at holy living, despite all the error that is around you. Despite what men are advocating and excusing, you just keep on living a life that is holy, building up yourselves on your most holy faith. It's not time now to abandon the foundation and look for something else to build on. It's time now just to keep on building. Just keep on contributing. My, I want to tell you, it's not simply. I'm telling you earnestly for the doctrine is not a matter of getting up and degrading everything and calling down all else.
Contributing to them as well.
Just keep putting in truth. Just keep building up what is of God. Dear brother, they may not hear you all the time. And they may not pat you on the back for telling them what the Word of God says.
No, not my opinion.
But what the Word of God says. Keep on putting in that which is going to stand the test at the judgment seat of God. Building up yourselves
on your most holy.
That for all that is around us, that would attack the very foundation.
Foundation of God stand assured and not with a cry.
The foundation need not be changed, it will not be changed. Just keep building on the foundation. Edify. Exercise. Praying in the Holy Ghost. I am thankful to God. If you'll allow me for not seeming, at least I hope, to be presumptuous, I want to tell you that I am thankful to God that I have come to appreciate even more so than ever that in Vancouver there are men that know God. Men and women that can pray, that know something of the presence of God. We're not all that we would like to be, if I can include myself with my beloved brethren and sisters, but thank God for men who know the presence of God. And if the next generation of believers in Vancouver does not come to know God in the same way, Vancouver will be weaker than it is today.
Oh, there's no compromising it. There's no shortcut to this. If I am going to know fellowship with God, then I am going to have to know what it is. In the Holy Ghost.
The Spirit of God moving in my heart and life, bringing me into the presence of God, that I may get to know something of the God
who loved me
and has entrusted me with responsibility. Oh, may God's Spirit help today.
Young man, in God's name, go in for knowing God in His presence.
Go in for knowing what it is to lay hold of God in prayer. Sometimes I have heard people talk about others and they say, man, I don't know how you would spend so much time praying. Sometimes I do not know where there is time to do all the praying that needs to be done. Oh, there's so much to take into the presence of God. God help us to keep building. God help us to recognize that the weapons of our warfare are spiritual. That more is accomplished in the sanctuary than is ever accomplished in the pulpit. Building and praying.
And then says Jude, here is the consummation of the community. Keep yourself in the love of God.
Keep on building. Keep on praying.
Because the moment is coming when there is going to be the consummation of union. Oh, what is it going to be?
If in any little measure we have known a touch of fellowship with God in life, what is it going to be?
And the trumpet sounds and the voice says, come up. And you'll see it.
It will be the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Deliverance from all that is around us.
And we shall eternally be associated with life.
Oh, these that are twice dead, and all this that is lacking, the characteristic of divine life, it'll all be left behind in a moment.
Your brethren will rise to enjoy life
in all its fullness.
Thank God for the prospect that is before us.
Life on earth is only life if it's in fellowship with God.
And the saddest days of our lives are the days we have lived out of fellowship with God. And the darkest moments of our experience are those moments when it seems as if His presence is satisfied. What will it be without a cloud between you? To see Him face to face. And the glory. We are going to be in fellowship with Him uninterrupted forever. Oh, God, help us to live that here, that we shall enjoy up there forever.
But I want to just suggest to you for the last few verses that what is before us is not only rejoicing in what is provided,
but says Job, that you'd rather recover what is possible.
Three classes of people, some of them are in doubt, they're wavering. Do what you can to draw them back. There are some that are in danger. They're near the fire. Pull them back. Snatch them back quickly. And there are some in there that are garments spotted by the flesh, they're in defilement. Be very careful in your approach to them, because it's absolutely positive not all are going to be recovered. But if there is recovery for them, go after them with heart and soul. If there's a possibility for recovery, bring them back. But when all is said and done, never lose sight of the fact. Even today, sometimes I would God it were not true, but even today, we can only recover what is possible. There are some that wish their own way and are avowed to it. So have to let them go. Now, says Job, there's one that's able to keep you in. Ah, says Job, when he looks back to the past, he says, my, you're kept for the Lord Jesus. Positional. The moment you are claimed, kept for the Lord Jesus, he is going to enjoy you. Heirs of eternity, you are going to be his to enjoy forever. And in the present time, keep yourselves in the love of God. Make it practical now, that he may enjoy you now. Thank God for the future. There is this potential. He is able to keep you all the way until he presents you faultless in the glory. Kept, safely kept, kept all the way, even through temptation's day. His mighty love shall ne'er relax, nor shall his powerful grasp relax. Or all the way, kept, with the prospect of glory before us. Is it any wonder that Jude, whose name is really Judah, his name means praise, in the midst of all the difficulties that he is addressing, he ends his message to the believers on this note, a note of praise and bursting with glory, as he ascribes glory and majesty and dominion and power to God and to the Savior. Ah, may God Jesus be gracious. Dear brethren, there is every reason for our hearts to be filled with joy today, and to be filled with joy in all the days that lie before us. God, help us to keep in the enjoyment of divine truth and keeping our souls happy in the love of God. Let us pray. Our Father, we do thank thee for thy beloved Son. We thank thee for the glory, the honor, the majesty that is his. We thank thee for the privilege of being associated with him while he is rejected, outside. And Lord, we pray that thou wilt keep us in the enjoyment of his own blessed person, outside with him, until we see him face to face. We commit thy word to thee. Pray, Lord, that thou wilt bless thy people. Stir our every heart, confirm to us convictions from thy word, and grant us, Lord, grace, we do pray, to live with that glorious day in sight, when we shall see him, that we may hear from his own blessed lips, well done, good and faithful servant. Grant thy blessing as we part now, and ask that thou wilt give help as we think of the gospel being preached tonight. It is one work, whether here in Woodland or in the assemblies around us, as Christ is preached as the Savior. We pray that thou wilt save sinners and honor thy beloved Son in his worthy name. Psalm 237, rejoice, rejoice, ye saints, rejoice. Rejoice with one accord. Verses 1 and 3 and 5 and 6, the first, third, and last two verses of number 237. And I need to be right if we stand to sing together.